So it's time for us to take a little pause and share in this beautiful time of meditation together. So I invite you just to relax and settle in. To settle your thoughts as you're able, and to take a deep, relaxing breath. Just simply become aware of the breath. Just noticing naturally that yes, you are right here, right now. And that life is moving through you without any effort on your part. And for this ease and grace and miracle, say silently to the God of your heart that has shown up as you, thank you. Thank you. We give thanks. We are grateful for all that has served us so far. And grateful for all the new ways of being that will take us even further. We give thanks for remembering our sacred source. And we give thanks that our sacred source remembers us, that we are loved and cherished deeply forever. We are grateful for the ordinary things that reveal their extraordinary blessings. For the light, the wisdom that shatters our confusion and reveals clarity. For the hidden veins of light in the deepest shadows, we are grateful. We are grateful for the threads of connection with our loved ones, seen and unseen, near and far away. And thankful for the love that surprises us with its warmth offered here in friendship, in service, in healing. Thank you for allowing us to make a difference for one another, for the great good fortune of being here now. And breathe into your deepening gratitude, allowing yourself to gratefully follow the beautiful music as you turn towards what is grateful in your heart now. Thank you. This is what has been given to me. This is how I am blessed. That was beautiful indeed. A blessing. Well, good morning again. Oh, our journey together the past few weeks. They've been centered around the resources and the strengths that we need in order to be happy and to withstand whatever challenges that we might meet along the way. So we've been looking at the Book of Joy, a dialogue between Archbishop Desmond Tutu and His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And we've been learning about happiness. Happiness as a cluster of skills that we want to develop and practice for more peace and strength and happiness in our lives. And they call these the 8 pillars of joy. You know what they are by now, right? Yes? Perspective, humor, humility, acceptance, forgiveness, compassion, gratitude, and generosity. And they're called pillars because they'll hold us up, sustain us, and fortify us. And first we looked at perspective, and last week we looked at compassion. And this last week in the series, we're going to be talking about gratitude. Gratitude. You know, it's been my humble observation, being involved with Unity Churches for many years now, that these communities might well be called something like the Churches of the Eternally Grateful, or the Centers for Positive Practical Gratitude Principles. Because it seems to me that Unity people are among the most grateful people, either by natural inclination or deliberate practice, that I have ever known. Take last Sunday, for instance. It was one of those cold and rainy, gray Sunday mornings with that kind of chill that really gets your attention. And I walked into the church, and I was greeted with a warm, friendly smile and hug and the greeting, "What a beautiful morning." Wow, with such sincerity. And you know what inspires me and touches me so deeply about that is we can see the truth of that. What a beautiful morning indeed. So I know that you already know a lot about this subject. Gratitude, not as some kind of light and airy way to escape and deny reality, but as a choice, as a powerful spiritual tool and practice. It's not uncommon for tragedies and disasters to actually turn us towards gratitude. Now, I know that sounds counterintuitive, those incidences of such loss, but they turn us towards one another with renewed appreciation and towards those who care and tend and rebuild, and to see them with such deep appreciation. And as much as we already know about the grateful heart, and we do know quite a bit, we need to be reminded, because fear and grief will rob us of easy gratitude. Fear and grief will snatch away our gratitude when we need it the most. So we can really, really benefit from exploring this in as many ways as possible for more peace in these times of unrest, as a way to bridge the gap in our national discourse with our family and friends. Last spring, I spent 3 weeks connecting with friends and family in different East Coast towns. It was a long scenic road trip with my brother, who took us through those beautiful parts of the South. I especially love those verdant hills of Virginia. Have you ever been there? The Shenandoah Valley and the Blue Ridge Parkway. Those small southern towns charmed me. Sparkling white churches, quaint downtowns, all those historical signposts. I wanted to stop and read every one of them, but my brother wouldn't let me. Small shops, cafes with quiet appeal. And I got to know a few of those people who lived there and sat down with them, talked with them, well, mainly listened to their hopes and to their fears. And what I realized was that just beyond the world, this warm country charm, walls were not waiting to be built. they had already been erected. Wow! What was going on here? Was there a way to scale these walls with these people? They were, I'm telling you, they were warm and wonderful people. Sweet people who tear up at these sentimental TV shows, you know, sweet people with manners that their mothers had taught them, please and thank you after a good Southern meal. And yet, beneath the surface, some of these people, not everyone, but some of these people were suffering from a gratitude deficit. And what was missing was a deep sense of appreciation for the gifts that we enjoy here in this country, for diversity and personal freedom, for our democratic values, and for all those that have contributed and given so much. And the deficiency is so severe that it's convinced a lot of folks that this is time of great fear and that everything has gone wrong and that we're going down the tubes and it's all because of them, the other. Whoa. It was a little bit of a shock for me that lives in my little Northwest bubble. Friends, it is an ancient and perennial truth that gratitude is the glue that holds society and relationships together. Gratitude is a vital moral choice, and ingratitude contributes to societal breakdown and separation thinking. Now, we mustn't feel smug, because a gratitude deficit can happen to anyone. And most of us have experienced at least a tinge of it, come on now, at times when we have forgotten that we belong to each other. So we need to have compassion for this condition, because when we lack gratitude and we're mired in complaint and negativity, we are truly suffering. Without gratitude, life is hell. Now, gratitude challenges the assumption that our lives are devoid of goodness. Gratitude affirms the goodness and the gifts and the benefits that we've received in life. And gratitude is like, practicing gratitude is like a firewall of protection that helps us experience more enoughness, to fully experience enoughness. When we're so busy consciously rushing around towards more, says Len Twist, who wrote The Soul of Money, we rush right over, right past enough. We don't even notice enough. It's like enough is just an inconvenient speed bump. But here's the good news. Researchers are telling us that it turns out that gratitude and a grateful heart and appreciation bridges the gap between us, between red states and blue states, political parties, Christians and atheists. It could almost be called a miracle in its ability to heal, comfort, inspire, and energize us. And we can build that, we can bridge that gap between us with gratitude, because almost anyone, with the exception, the researchers tell us, of a true narcissist, anyone can experience the energetic uplift of a grateful heart. One of my favorite books, I mean, this is really one of my favorite books, I read it every year at least, is a book called Thanks: How Practicing Gratitude Can Make Make You Happier. And it is the work of Dr. Robert Emmons, researcher and professor at UC Davis, who's done years of research on gratitude, and he offers findings that are deeply inspiring, scientific, and spiritual. He's also got a new book out that is even more accessible. There's less science in it, but it's more accessible for us everyday people. It's called Gratitude Works, a 21-day program for creating emotional prosperity. He talks about gratitude as emotional prosperity. The developed and cultivated ability to appreciate the gifts in the moment. Emmons and these researchers tell us that gratitude is literally one of the few things that can measurably change people's lives. It has the strongest link to mental health, to life satisfaction, than any other personality trait, more than optimism, more than hope, and even more than our beloved compassion. Amazing. And the measurable benefits, better health, better coping skills when we're stressed, more resilience from trauma. Grateful people have less risk of developing debilitating anxiety and depression disorder. They demonstrate a generalized sense of well-being. And especially meaningful is that gratitude brings with it insights into the interdependence and the connectedness of all, that we are all one. I would say that gratitude is spiritual prosperity, helping us to sustain our spiritual consciousness and energize us so we can hold on to the beauty in life rather than feeling defeated by the sorrows and conflicts of the world. Oh, yeah. I feel very strongly about this. You might have noticed. Now, Eric Butterworth, that beloved Unity minister, he wrote Spiritual Economics, among other things. And he quotes Paul, who says, "In all things, give thanks." Butterworth says, "Oh, really? Is that practical? In all things? Is that possible? Let's look at that again." Paul did not say, "Give thanks for all things." But it's been interpreted that way, used to justify poverty, encourage people to give thanks and be patient in their dismal conditions because they'll get their reward in heaven. But Paul says, be grateful in all things, not for all things, because we may not be grateful for the challenges and sorrows and losses, and we can be grateful in spite of them. Consider gratitude as the ability to look first at what is good and what is working in our lives without minimizing or denying any of the hardships or challenges that are also present. And Emmons wants us to know that while feelings might be a part of gratitude, gratitude's not just a feeling, it's not just positive thinking, but it is a carefully, intentionally, and deliberately chosen way of seeing the world. In spite of whatever is going on, that we can return again and again, recentered in the awareness of the sacred of creation itself with a grateful disposition. A grateful disposition, which is this prevailing attitude that withstands the gains and losses that are the ebb and flow of life, that help us cope by offering us this life-sustaining, life-altering perspective. And he is urging us to develop this gratitude disposition, not just a momentary feeling of gratitude, but this awareness of how we're all interconnected, how we need each other to move through this life. I remember reading this passage from another book about the Dalai Lama. You're probably familiar with it. I know you've all read these things too. Called The Art of Happiness. Do you remember that book? It came out in the 1990s, I believe. I love that thing. And the author who wrote the book, he followed the Dalai Lama around, and recorded some of his teachings. Now, the author was a very proud man, very independent, very proud of his incredible intellect. And he said that when he was listening to the Dalai Lama talk about interdependence and interconnection, well, sometimes he didn't quite connect with it. So this is what he wrote about that. As the Dalai Lama spoke, I felt instinctive resistance. I considered myself to be an independent person, self-reliant, prided myself on this quality, in fact. Secretly, I tended to regard overly dependent people with a kind of contempt, a sign of weakness. But one afternoon, as I listened to the Dalai Lama, something happened. He was speaking about our dependence on others, not my favorite topic, and my mind started to wander, and I found myself absently removing a loose thread on my sleeve. And I tuned in for a moment, and I listened as he mentioned the many people who were involved in making our material possessions. And as he said this, I began to think about how many people had been involved in making my shirt. Remember that story? I started imagining the farmer who grew the cotton. Next, the salesperson who sold the farmer the tractor to plow the field. Then, for that matter, the hundreds or even thousands of people involved in manufacturing that tractor, including the people that mined the ore to make the metal for each part of the tractor, and all the designers of the tractor. Then, of course, there were the people who processed the cotton, the people who wove the cloth, and the people who cut and dyed and sewed the cloth. And then, of course, the cargo workers and the truck drivers who delivered the shirt to the store. Then there was the salesperson who sold me the shirt. And then it occurred to me that virtually every aspect of my life came about as a result of others' efforts. And my precious self-reliance was a complete illusion, a fantasy. And as this realization dawned on me, he writes, I was overcome with a profound sense of interconnectedness and interdependence of all beings. I felt a softening, he said. Something shifted. I don't know what it was, but I began to cry. Breathe. Breathe for that radical transformation when we recognize our interconnection and our oneness. Thank you, God. Of course, you know, it's difficult to sustain that kind of gratitude disposition. We tend to forget, take things for granted. We have other expectations. We get disappointed. Emmons recognizes that, and he offers these practical practices for keeping gratitude fresh and real in our lives. Perspective. The first pillar of happiness we talked about is the underlying principle at work and central to developing our gratitude disposition. You see, gratitude is the activity of paying attention, noticing not just the big blessings, but the simplest events or favors that we find available to us many times during the day. I say allow ourselves to stumble, metaphorically speaking, upon grateful moments. I'm particularly fond of collecting the smallest grateful moments that I can find every day. Because the big gratitude moments, they're going to find us. But when we begin collecting the smallest grateful moments, it's like a treasure hunt. Many people find that out in nature. You know, notice, as I know you do, all that's going on out there. The message of resilience, for example, in that tiny leafy green leaf poking up through the crack in the cement. The contentment of your family cat purring in your lap. The happy wag of the family dog. The smallest victory in the world of material things. In her list of gratitudes, one woman in Emmons' book said she was grateful that she didn't grind up any of her silverware that day in the garbage disposal. Emmons says that one practice that helps us develop a grateful disposition is to keep a gratitude journal. Probably some of you do that. Keeping a gratitude journal. They recommend only two or three times a week. You don't want to do it every day because it becomes too rote. You want to keep it fresh. And this has actually well documented with remarkable benefits in people's lives. There's something about writing down the blessings that translates thoughts into words and proves to be much more beneficial than just thinking those thoughts. Something happens neurologically when we write them down. And be very specific, because the truth is in the details. You know, I was talking about the subject of gratitude in a Unity church not too long ago, and a woman came up to me and she said, "I've been keeping a gratitude journal for 20 years now, and it quite literally saved my life." We can all have gratitude and have more of it if we systematically train ourselves to pay attention to what's going right in our lives. And there is a strength in gratitude that sustains us in the most difficult of times. I recall when my husband was diagnosed with a condition that eventually took his life, noticing so many of the ordinary aspects of our lives with the deepest sense of gratitude. I mean, we were always grateful for one another, but all of a sudden, it just became deeper and more profound and meaningful. You know what I mean. A sacredness to everything, like the sounds of his footsteps in the hallway. I'd be in the kitchen, juicing those dense, disgusting, healthy green juices that I kept feeding him. And friends, I've got to tell you, I was pretty overwhelmed by a lot of the details of coping with this situation. And I'd have these bunches of kale and spinach and parsley, feeding them into the juicer that whirled and vibrated and nearly bounced off the counter, green juice oozing out over the top, spilling out, dripping onto the floor, and then the whole mess would be over. And I had my 8 ounces of pure, green, shimmering, organic juice. And I'd turn off that machine, and that rumbling stopped. And I would hear him walking down the hall. The shuffling sound of his slippers on the wooden floor. And it was such a beautiful sound, like the hallelujah chorus singing in my heart. And we all know from experience those moments in which gratitude wells up in us, first as something mysterious filling up within us. What is this in this terrible, dark, and tragic time that gives me such gratitude and joy, filling us with thanksgiving, filling us with love, really? How precious indeed it is to walk this journey of earth. Our appreciation and gratitude for so many blessings along the way deepened in that terrible time and was the singular most sustaining grace. Sustaining grace that provided us with a source of courage to get us through those days and to help me fall in love with life again. It's not denying the heartbreak or the grief, but offering the perspective of appreciation for what we have cherished. And by its very nature, gratitude has this elemental aspect of offering another perspective, because it slows us down into seeing and listening and paying attention. And I would say it is the most important spiritual practice there is. It is our refuge. It is how we move out of the hell that we have created or are experiencing to creating heaven on earth. Emmons says that it is precisely under crisis conditions that we have the most to gain by a grateful perspective. In the face of demoralization, gratitude has the energy and the power. In the face of brokenness, gratitude has the power to heal. And in the face of despair, gratitude has the power to bring us hope. You know, I often hear spiritual people these days asking, well, what can I do in this divisive climate? Spiritual people like us, we have a confusing time of it, trying to figure out how to do this thing, how to make our values known. How our values can make a peaceful difference in the world when we don't preach and we don't try and convert, and yet there's something in us. We want to make a difference. I would say, gather your grateful stories and your grateful moments and be prepared to spring them on the unsuspecting, the depressed, and the fearful. Start collecting those grateful moments every day. Write them down or in some way record them in your awareness and really begin to think on the spot, in the moment, what it is you are grateful for in this country, what you have been inspired by, what kind of selfless contribution has made you be proud to be an American citizen and proud of our religious freedom. When you find yourself in a situation with someone of values different than your own, then you can share your stories and invite others to tell theirs as well. Just standing together with one another to listen to the blessings and celebrate life with them. Certainly, gratitude is not the only thing we need to do to find our way back to each other. But yet, it is a way we can build bridges instead of walls. Thank you, dear friends. It's been a wonderful time, and I am so grateful. Namaste.